He joined the Tampa Bay Rays in June 2005 as the team's Director of Planning and Development. Now in his second year as team president, Brian Auld continues his mission to energize the community through baseball and emphasize the team's commitment to the area. And there's that thing about the stadium. Tampa Bay Rays President Brian Auld is our Florida Matters newsmaker.
Support for Florida Matters comes from the Hospitals of BayCare Health System, providing more than 100 health seminars, classes, and events each month. BayCare's mission is to build a healthier Tampa Bay. Register for a complimentary health seminar, class, or event at BayCareEvents.org.
From the Donna Studio at WUSF Public Media, I'm Carson Cooper, and stepping up to the plate now, Brian Auld. Welcome.
Thank you for having me, Carson.
Good to see you. First of all, you and the team, I believe, are to be commended for your generosity last week when you dedicated proceeds of Pride Night to the victims of the Orlando nightclub massacre. You know, one of the toughest moments that night was that moment of silence when the names of the victims were scrolled on the video screens. What were your thoughts?
I actually had a family obligation, so I wasn't there that night. But I can tell you that as we were preparing for that week, we recognized that we had an opportunity to become a place of healing and unity in our community. And it's one of the most important things that a baseball team can do. And so when in the aftermath of the Orlando tragedy, our management team came together and started asking ourselves what we could do on Pride Night to really show that not just Tampa Bay, but all of Western Florida stood behind the victims of that tragedy and the LGBT community as a whole. We thought that the tribute video was a great way to do it. We thought that scrolling the names was a great way to do it. We thought that having the Pride flag side by side with the American flag was a good way to do it, and couldn't be more proud of the way our staff came together to pull that off. I think it really made a difference.
This was not a one-night thing. You've been doing Pride Night for 10 years now.
We have. I think it gets better every year. I think that we've built really strong partnerships, in particular with Equality Florida, but also a number of other LGBT groups with Billy Beane up at Major League Baseball. And we're getting more and more input from the gay community now, and that helps us make the night that much more appropriate, tactful, and effective.
Last year, the Rays filed an amicus brief in support of the same-sex marriage case before the Supreme Court.
We signed on to the brief. We certainly didn't file it.
We're
not attorneys, but we were the first team to sign it. The San Francisco Giants, who played us last Friday at our Pride Night game, were the other team to do it. So it wasn't a tough decision. When asked if we would sign it, we believe in equal rights for all people, and it was an easy one to sign.
All right. Major League Baseball does not appear to have much confidence in this market as far as supporting baseball, at least not as much confidence as Stu Sternberg has. Commissioner Rob Manfred has pretty much said, get a new stadium, sell those seats, or else. How long can the Rays keep the wolf from the door?
Well, we're doing everything we can. I think what you said is a fair statement, but the part I want to hone in on is that Stu has confidence. I have confidence. We've got a great group down here, and we're working with some great people to make sure things happen. But, you know, I don't think it's any secret to know that we've been on the receiving end of the revenue sharing system every single year that we've existed. And despite having, at least at the beginning of this season, we'd won the fourth most games of Major League Baseball since 2008. We had a stretch of four postseason appearances in 6 years, five 90-win seasons. What we've done on the field has been the envy of just about every other team in Major League Baseball. And to not see those revenues increase has been a little troubling to the league. And it surprised us a bit. We certainly expected to see a greater return at the gate when the team performance turned around. But that's part of the challenge of being a small market team, and it energizes us every day, and we continue to work hard at it. And, you know, I've been here 11 years. Stu's on the team a little bit longer than that. We've worked really hard to build our fan base into what it is today. We're not interested in leaving it. We run this team for our staff, for ourselves, and for our fans, and they all happen to be in Tampa Bay.
Does the league still have confidence in Sternberg?
Absolutely. Commissioner Manfred has appointed Stu to a four-year term on the executive committee. He's a very respected owner. I think that he is a leader amongst the small market teams. I know that he's a leader amongst the small market teams in terms of talking about ways to improve the game, to increase competitive balance, and to grow our sport as a whole. And Stu's a really thoughtful, smart guy. While we miss him down here, the fact that he lives in New York means he's got a pretty direct line to Commissioner Manfred, and he spends a lot of time at the MLB offices making sure that we're heard.
This talk of a new stadium has been going on pretty much since you've been here for 11 years, right? I mean, this has been pretty much the primary focus out of what's going on the field.
It's certainly been a major focus, absolutely. We've known, Stu's known since the day he bought a controlling interest in the team, that we'd need a new ballpark at some point. And we all still know that today. So we are further along than we've been, and we're going to keep pushing.
At some point, that's the key here. The Rays want out, of course, of Tropicana Field. The contract with the city expires in 2027. So is it your belief that this team will absolutely not be at Tropicana Field for the next 11 years?
I don't want to ever say anything is an absolute. I can tell you that's our goal, and I can tell you that I don't think it's an optimal outcome for us to be at Tropicana Field for the next 11 years, for the Rays or for the community, and in particular for the city of St. Petersburg. I don't think that having the Rays at Tropicana Field is an optimal use of the 85-acre parcel that we control right now. I think it's in the best interest of everyone in the Tampa Bay region that we put a shovel down somewhere and get a new stadium built in the relatively near future. And by that, I mean, you know, sooner than 2027.
My guest is Tampa Bay Rays President Brian Ald. St. Pete Mayor Rick Kreisman's group, Baseball Forever, has its sights set on redeveloping Tropicana Field, that site there. Back in January, St. Petersburg City Council voted to allow the Rays to search for new ballpark sites on either side of the bay, Pinellas or Hillsborough County. And Mayor Kreisman, in this memo of understanding, Kreisman added financial incentives to keep the Rays at Tropicana Field. So where are we with all this, and is there a deadline approaching?
The only deadline that I'm aware of is that the MOU has a 3-year term. So in the event that we do not find a location 3 years from, I believe, this past January, we have to alert the city of that fact, and that means we'll be at Tropicana Field going forward. That should be plenty of time for us to identify the best possible site for us in the event that we can find one. In the meantime, we are exploring every possible option, and we're doing all of our due diligence. We are asking the business community about where they're most likely to support us. We're doing traffic studies. We're doing demographic studies, all in an effort to make sure that when we build a new ballpark, it's going to work for the Rays, and then it'll also work for the community.
Now, Baseball Forever says the funding mechanism for Pinellas Stadium is already in place. I understand bed tax dollars are free. The bonds for Tropicana have been paid. Funding in Hillsborough, not so sure. That'll depend a lot on where that stadium might be built on the other side of the bay. As a business guy, you're looking at all this, all the funding. Are you convinced that it's going to stay in Pinellas?
If we were convinced that it was going to stay in Pinellas, we wouldn't have spent so many years talking with the St. Petersburg City Council about the ability to look in both Hillsborough and Pinellas County. We think it's crucial to vet every site in both counties. And while I'm not a funding expert, I believe that both counties have the ability to support a Major League Baseball team and to come up with funding sources to build a ballpark if and when the political desire is there.
Hillsborough is working on another transportation plan. Tampa Bay Express is being voted on. There's a lot of talk of that. How important is transportation and the improvement of transportation to a successful baseball team in Pinellas County?
I think it's vital in either county and wherever we are. And I think connecting the two counties is crucial as well. We've got to be able to get people to our games. And baseball, unlike any other activity on the planet, brings people out, tens of thousands of people, 81 times a year. I don't believe there's any other activity anywhere that does that. And so we should be a key component to the transportation solution when it comes. We will provide ridership. We will create that demand wherever we are. And so we pay close attention to transportation initiatives. We support the transportation initiatives, but we certainly are not transportation experts. And we'll lean on the counties and the various other municipalities to figure out the best way to build that system.
Hillsborough Commissioner Ken Hagan has made it no secrets where he wants the Rays to relocate. He spoke during an Ybor City Chamber luncheon last week.
And I believe in my heart it's either going to be in Tampa or they're going to leave the region. They won't be here. But irrespective of where it goes, the business community has to be more engaged.
You can't argue about the business community being engaged, but Hagan says it's either Tampa or you are out of the region. So, and you say what?
That's not how we're looking at it. We think Pinellas County has a whole lot to offer, and we have a ton of fans in Pinellas County. If and when we know where we should be and where we need to be, we certainly will begin that conversation. But for now, we're looking at sites on both sides of the bay, and not just a Tropicana Field. You know, the county commission has spoken with us. They say they have a number of sites in Pinellas County that we may not even be aware of yet. We're looking forward to hearing about those because, again, I think they all deserve full and fair consideration. We need to have absolute certainty that wherever we put this ballpark gives us the best chance to succeed. Unfortunately, Major League Baseball in Tampa Bay is not easy. It's not simple. It's a complicated problem. Obviously, our organization's right in the middle of it. And so we've got to be able to explore every possible option so we feel like we're giving ourselves the best possible chance to succeed. And I can't say today that the solution's either in Hillsborough or Pinellas. I don't know where the exact right location is.
We'll talk about what kind of stadium you might like here in a moment, but let me just ask you bluntly, where do you want a stadium? Where would you like to have one?
Wherever the data tells us it should be. And I know that sounds like I'm being coy, but it's the truth. It's the way we've approached our business from the very beginning. It's the way we approach running our baseball team. We're going to do what will work best for us, and as soon as we know what that is, we'll share it with people.
We've heard from so many people about possible sites. We've heard about the Toy Town area, you know, that former dump that's up near Roosevelt and I-275. We've heard about the West Shore area, Channel District, all over. Have we found a site yet, or are we still looking for a place that might be the perfect site?
There are a handful of options that appear like they could work, and we're doing some real due diligence on those. But I'm sincere when I say it's quite possible that we have not identified the best location yet, and that it may come up in future conversations.
Hmm. If the Rays do get a new stadium, it will take millions of dollars from local governments, taxpayer dollars, to make it happen. Why are these meetings on both sides of the bay, why are they behind closed doors? Why is the public kept out of these meetings?
Well, first of all, that's not our decision. But I can tell you I understand the reasoning.
Well, does it bother you that they're...
It doesn't bother me. And I believe that the participants in those meetings are being open with the media with what happens in those meetings coming out of them, with one exception. I think when we're talking about not city-controlled land or county-controlled land, you've got to take a reasonable approach to the negotiation. And if we had a meeting, hypothetically, and it came out that we had a perfect site and it was owned by someone and they had full access to our discussions about that meeting, the price for that land could go way, way, way up. And that ultimately would come out of the public coffers, because however we participate in this project, the Rays will bring everything we have to the table, and the city and county and various other funding sources will have to make up the rest. And so it's important when you consider that a negotiation for a possible land acquisition is going to occur that you keep your cards a little bit closer to the vest. The second is we really want to be engaging in open, frank, and candid conversations. And while we certainly have great respect for the media, when there's a reporter in the room, it can have a chilling effect. And I want to make sure that if there are particular issues that may seem sensitive or touchy, we give ourselves the ability to talk through them, make sure we understand exactly where we're coming from without fear of how something could be construed in the press.
It's a big deal to taxpayers, and especially when it involves their money. And I guess there are issues you could say as far as sunshine laws. You know, when you have elected officials meeting behind closed doors, they have to be open to the public. But I know that's probably another thing for the lawyers.
It's certainly for the lawyers and the elected officials. And I know that they've gotten their opinions on what they're doing. And everybody thinks that our processes are on the up and up.
So the Rays move spring training to Port Charlotte. How's that been working out?
Well, first, we couldn't be more proud of the facility. And I think it speaks to our ability to build something great on a small budget. We've built up a fan base in Charlotte County. Our spring training attendance is higher. I think one of the big impacts of it has also been that our players build a little camaraderie and more spirit when they're down there, a little more isolated from their everyday lives, which is what used to happen when we spring trained in St. Petersburg. And I also think you've seen us sell out every opening day since we've moved to Port Charlotte. And that's because the excitement of the regular season is a little more palpable when we're not playing spring training games, you know, right down the street.
This is Florida Matters. My guest is Tampa Bay Rays President Brian Auld, our Florida Matters newsmaker. More on what the fans want in a stadium and in a team when we continue. I'm Kirsten Cooper. This is Florida Matters.
All it is baseball. Love is just like baseball.
I'm Kirsten Cooper. My guest is Tampa Bay Rays President Brian Auld, our Florida Matters newsmaker. The Tampa Bay Lightning had a great season this year. The Bucks, you know, the fans are already counting the days until the preseason. You could probably look at this in one of two ways. The more pro sports teams we have in the Bay Area, we get a bigger base of sports fans, which could be certainly good for the Rays, right? Or are those other teams' competition taking away from potential seat sales at Tropicana Field? Is there enough room for everyone in this market?
I certainly think so. We have great respect for our partners in the Lightning and the Buccaneers. We support one another. Our players support one another. We wish them the best of success. And when they're doing well, I think it bodes well for us. I think you'll see that typically, certainly wins and losses play into it, but our attendance patterns have moved in unison with how the Tampa Bay region's been going. We're all in this together. And I think the biggest factor in the Rays' success is the Tampa Bay region and the larger economy, as opposed to how many sports teams are here. You know, we consider the movies, the beaches, and every other entertainment venue out there to be our competition every bit as much as the Bucks and the Lightning.
How do you market to this area?
Well,
how's it changed over the years?
We've had a fairly standard approach. You know, the thing I take most pride in about our organization is that we are always mission-driven. And you mentioned that mission at the beginning of the show, but it's to energize our community through the magic of Rays baseball. Every ad campaign we have comes behind that, and our current Raise Up campaign is certainly based on that very ideal. We want people to connect our brand to the Tampa Bay region and to our community as a whole, and we work hard to make that happen. With our marketing spots, we're trying to show the excitement of baseball, and we're also trying to show that a family can enjoy a game and some time together at the park. But I think most people know when our games are. I think most people know what baseball's about, and I hope they'll just come on out.
Now, when you first arrived 11 years ago, you would go around chatting with fans about what they wanted in a team. What were they telling you then? Was it all about a new stadium? What did they like about the team? What did they not like?
I would say 95% of the comments from fans were for us to win. Winning baseball is the most exciting baseball. And when we talk about that mission, the way you energize a community is you win. A winning baseball team can do things that a losing baseball team simply can't accomplish. And so that's always our main focus. It's where we put the vast majority of our resources. And I couldn't be more proud of what our front office has done over the years. Our baseball operations team, our managers, and our players have really put a pretty fantastic product on the field every year. Now, I know we're under 500 right now. I know the last couple of years we finished right at about 500. But you got to remember that math dictates that half the teams are going to be below 500 every year. And we are going to keep scrapping, keep fighting, and I think we've still got the bones for a lot of success in the remainder of this year and going forward.
Now, as far as the stadium goes, recently you announced that you were putting up a website for folks to chime in. Is that site up yet?
Site is not up yet, although we have conducted a handful of blue sky sessions with community groups. Getting fan feedback on our ballpark is going to be one of the most fun and exciting parts of what we do. And I can tell you the ideas that have already started rolling in are going to have a real impact on the future plans.
Yeah, I want to ask you about some of those ideas. I've heard some pretty wild things about what the next stadium might look like. First of all, is real grass a big draw? Fans talking about the turf?
Yeah, so grass and the roof play hand in hand, and we're exploring technology on both fronts in that particular part of our process. Here's what we know. We know we have to have game certainty. And we know we have to have fan comfort. Those things seem to indicate some sort of air conditioning system and in all likelihood some type of roof. You know, we get torrential downpours for a period of 15 minutes in the afternoon that could prohibit a game from happening or, just as bad, make people who are about to embark on a 45-minute drive think a game might not happen and therefore not want to show up. So we've got to be able to promise people that the game is going to happen every night that it's scheduled. As we explore roof technologies, some of the things that are going on in World Cup stadiums across the world, in Europe in particular, with this ETFE roof technology that allows UV radiation to get in and grow grass is really intriguing and is constantly advancing. And so we're studying that very closely. It also has the potential to fulfill one of our stadium goals, which is to build a truly iconic structure. You know, we point to the Skyway Bridge as the iconic structure of the Tampa Bay region. Our next ballpark needs to be on that list. It needs to be a place that shows up on postcards when you look at Tampa Bay. And so roof, while could be a disadvantage, is potentially an advantage for us in terms of creating that icon. On the grass front, we've missed grass. We would love to have grass. And all else being equal, I think we would like grass in the ballpark. But turf technology is developing rapidly too. And some of the padding technologies beneath the turf lend us to the possibility that it could be a better playing surface than grass sometime in the near future. And if that's the case, we need to explore it, particularly if having turf is going to allow us to fulfill another one of our goals, which is 365 days a year access. I have been enamored with the idea of opening our outfield walls and letting the public use our field as a public space all winter long. As a public green space, as a park, have a picnic, bring your dog, run around, because I see what happens when kids and adults, for that matter, step onto Tropicana Field surface. They can't, it's hallowed ground, and we want to share that with everyone. And if turf makes it a little bit easier to do that, it's something we'll have to consider.
I'm a cheap guy, so I walk from the $5 lots to get into a game.
Okay.
So I got to tell you, I like the AC when I get there. That's just my bit of feedback here. What about uses of a stadium in the off season? You're only in there for 80 some odd days. So
it
what
leaves
about
you 284 days and 285 on leap year to do other things. So number one, we want to have world-class food and restaurants, and we'd like for those to be open all year long. We want to be in a location that's connected to the community around it. And so we want people to be stopping by the future ballpark, wherever it may be, and enjoying
that a Freudian slip,
whatever amenities. I don't know if Freudian is the right term. It was certainly a slip. But taking advantage of whatever other amenities we have, as we've pushed our architects to think about this 365 days a year utilization, we've come up with some really interesting ideas. ideas. You know, we need world-class training facilities because we have world-class athletes. But can we use those training facilities as a wellness center the other 284 days a year? Can we open it up to the community? We've got to be able to serve 30,000 people at any given time food. Can we provide a community kitchen, those amenities the rest of the year? With all the seating space and meeting spaces, you know, how are we able to use these things to fulfill the needs of the larger area? And those are the questions we're asking the public officials and the other representatives and Baseball Forever and the Hillsborough Group. You know, we need their help with that. We need them to help identify how a ballpark can contribute to the community as more than just a home for a baseball team.
And it's important to attract younger baseball goers, right? I mean, you got to get young people in.
Yeah. If you don't have young people, eventually you won't have anyone, right?
Yeah.
And so we certainly want to do that. And one of the things we hear is that, you know, baseball's a long game, and we want to incorporate that as an advantage into our new ballpark. We are, I think, the first team to really revisit the seating arrangement. You know, I think going back to the Greeks and Romans, people have sat in long lines of rows. And I look at it now, and the vast majority of the seats at a ballpark are like middle seats on an airplane. We're asking ourselves, you know, can we use the fact that we in Tampa Bay do not need to fit 50,000 seats into the smallest possible area to create a little more space, to create a more social environment? Baseball is a social game. People love milling about. They love talking. I mean, you do not have to pay attention to every single aspect of the game all game long. So how can we completely revisit the way people sit and watch a baseball game? Another thing we're asking ourselves, because of where technology is going, is can we provide front row seats to three times as many people by giving them all those seats for three innings per game instead of for the entire game? And then we'll send them off to another venue with a unique perspective later on. How can we incorporate all these things into making the baseball experience that much more fulfilling for everybody?
You know, I've got to talk a little baseball with you here. I get that perhaps baseball operations president Matt Silverman might be the better guy to ask here, but this has not been a good year for the Rays up to now. They're in the cellar in the AL East. And much of the criticism I've noticed has been focused on manager Kevin Cash. Rays TV analyst Brian Anderson called him out for a lack of leadership, for not holding players accountable. Evan Longoria says he's okay with Cash, but says other players on the team are also providing leadership. So how big a deal is this right now?
I'm not concerned at all about the leadership issue. I think Kevin Cash is absolutely tremendous, and he takes the time to talk to players, understand where they're coming from, and let them know what he expects of them. And we've had some rough performances. We've had a lot of players playing below their expectations, and that makes it hard. And when you talk about a relatively small space and a lot of guys and a lot of time, and that space gets even more crowded because we have a lot of guys recovering from injuries, it's hard. It's hard when the losing is happening, and you want to find someone to blame, but sometimes it's just an unfortunate lack of performance, a little bit of bad luck, and a few bad hops. The leadership issue vanished pretty quickly last week when we went on a pretty good streak, and I expect us to have more good streaks going forward and to, again, continue to be strong. We were thrilled when we brought Kevin Cash in because his ability to connect our front office to our players, we think, is a really unique quality. He helps them understand what we're trying to do, the brand of baseball we're trying to play. He makes sure they understand why we're shifting when we're shifting, for example. And I think that he's going to be our guy for a very long time, and I'm really happy about that.
I want to ask you one more thing about a stadium. Is Major League Baseball actually threatening to pull the Rays out if there's no new stadium?
I've not heard any threats of contraction or eliminating the team or anything like that. But, you know, I think Commissioner Manfred's been pretty clear that we are, if not his single largest issue in the game right now, one of the top two or three. Mm-hmm. The other major league owners aren't interested in continuing to send money down here if we aren't able to show that the fan support is there to warrant it. And I believe we're going to build that support. And when we speak with Major League Baseball, we tell them, you know, think about, you were here back in 2005. The Devil Rays and the Rays are dramatically different franchises. And if we can continue to make the same kind of strides in the next 10 years that we've made in the last 10 or 11 years, I really think these problems are going to solve themselves. We don't have that generational fan base yet. And we are just now starting to see children born to people who grew up as Devil Rays fans. That's something you only can get with time. And I believe the Tampa Bay region is going to support us and support us strongly. Baseball's in our bones. Baseball's in our DNA. So many great players have come from here. We've got such a great baseball tradition. We just need, and I think this is my most important job with the franchise, we just need to get that next facility built. We need to know that we're going to be here for another 30 years, and then we'll get it all figured out along the way.
This is Florida Matters. My guest is Tampa Bay Rays President Brian Ald. And Brian, you have led a very interesting life. You're a young guy. You attended Harvard Business School. You taught at a charter school in California. You're captain of the lacrosse team at Stanford. You've lived in Japan, Singapore, the Philippines. You made it to the bottom of Mount Everest. Now, honestly, you'd rather be here in the Bay Area than hanging out with a bunch of Sherpas in the Himalayas?
Yes, indeed. Certainly. I've lived here longer than anywhere else now. I tell people that all the time. This is my home, and I love it here. I'm raising three kids here. I think this is a tremendous region, and I've lived all over the place, so I know about it. And all the places I've ever been, I've never seen the same spirit of camaraderie that we're building something together. I really think it's a special thing about Tampa Bay. You don't have that in New York. You don't have it in Boston. You don't have it in San Francisco. You know, some of those cities are more mature, so to speak. It feels like we are on the cusp of building something really great here. And when you hear the mayors talk about it, when you hear the spirit of regionalism, it gets me really excited. I think the Tampa Bay Rays can be a major part of that renaissance, if you will. And so with it comes great responsibility, but it's also really exciting.
Finally, you were born in the other Bay Area, and you said your favorite baseball team growing up was the Oakland A's.
Yes.
So tell me, and this can be just between you and me, my producer and my listeners, when the Rays take on Oakland on July 21st, who are you rooting for? Be honest.
I'll tell you, when I first took the job with the Rays, I came down here, I was in business school, and the first game I watched, the Rays were playing the A's. And I was stunned at how quickly my allegiances had shifted. To be immediately invested in the team and its successes, and this was the Devil Rays, it wasn't like there was a playoff hunt in the works. I was full board on the Rays side of things, and I couldn't have been more excited about it. I'd become a Rays fan little by little because, you know, my good friend Matt Silverman had been down here with them for a while, and I was certainly rooting on his success. But I also say this, I understand fans who have a hard time shifting. There's people in my own family who root against my team when we're out there, and it drives me absolutely bonkers, but it helps give me the perspective to understand that the reason sports work is because loyalties can't be shifted easily. And so we've got a challenge there. You know, we got a lot of Yankees and Red Sox fans in the area, and although most of them are terrible people, we want to bring them along and bring them over to the Rays side in due time, and I see it happening with their kids. You know, I grin widely when I see a dad walking in Yankees gear and his kids in the Rays gear. And it shows me that we're starting to make that change.
Tampa Bay Rays President Brian Ault, our Florida Matters newsmaker. It has been a pleasure. Good luck for the rest of the season and in somehow resolving the stadium issue. And thank you for being here.
Well, thank you for having me. We appreciate the opportunity to explain how we're thinking about things.
And that's it for today's show. We'd love to hear from you. Questions or comments, just send us an email, floridamatters@wusfnews.org, or stop by our Facebook page. Florida Matters was produced by Bobby O'Brien, engineered by Craig George, and is a production of WUSF Public Media. I'm Carson Cooper. Thanks for listening.